We know that if we don't sing this morning, that even the very stones of this building, Lord, will sing because of how great you are, and that we can celebrate, Lord, that you are alive today, Lord. You've been alive for always, Lord. And we thank you that you rose up and that we can be here this morning and have that confidence that you are with us. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will really minister to each and every one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, I just have two questions for you this morning, and then I'll let you go, all right? So, but before that, I have to show you a bit of a next slide, just something that somebody can then explain to me. It's the relationship between spiritual growth, age, and gender. Okay, I want to ask you then two questions about this later. I can see a lot of lights are on, but there's nobody at home. No, it's got nothing to do with this graph. I had to put it in again because I always get ripped off that I can't talk about anything without a graph. But today this graph actually doesn't mean anything. Okay, it's just there. We'll go away from it now. It doesn't mean anything. But before I ask you these two questions, you know, I want to just tell you that about 1,983 years ago, maybe give or take a year, something happened on this planet, actually in this universe, that we cannot be quiet about and we should not be quiet about. Because if it didn't happen, we would be wasting our time here this morning. You know, it's actually, to put it bluntly, and it's in here, it says, and if Christ was not raised from the dead, our preaching is useless, and our faith also, you know, and so is your faith. So it's, you know, obviously the resurrection of Jesus is the most important event in the, you know, that happened in the universe, because you know, even me standing up here this morning would be absolutely of no use, and you sitting there, our meeting would be of no use if Jesus did not rise from the dead. You know, and we have to really think about that. You know, when I was this week just thinking about the resurrection, and I suddenly it just kind of dawns on you that have I actually grasped the full significance of the resurrection? Do I actually understand it, or am I just, it's just, you know, it kind of just goes by, you know? And before I ask you these two very important questions, I want to read, and it's quite a few verses, but I want to read the account of Jesus' resurrection from one of the Gospels. I could have taken any Gospel, but because it's in all four Gospels, but I chose Luke for no particular reason. But I want to read from verse 1 to 12 and then skip a few verses and go on to verse 36 to verse 49. Now, now just concentrate on what is in these words. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down and with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. I just want to stop here just shortly. And you know, it is obviously clear that the woman did not expect, or let me rather put it this way, the woman did expect the body of Jesus to be lying there wrapped in the cloth still. And in one of the other Gospels, it's actually says that they, when they walked to the grave, they wondered, how are they going to roll that stone away? Because, you know, they didn't think they had the strength to do it. And so obviously they didn't expect Jesus to have risen from the dead. I mean, it's just quite clear. And if you see when they rushed back and they told the other disciples, you know, you can sum up their response something like, you know, oh, here's that emotional stuff again. You know, this is they're talking nonsense. You know, but Peter, you can see Peter here, you know, he was probably still sitting there wondering how he had let the Lord down and how he was probably disappointed with himself. You know, he's the one that gets up and he runs to the grave and looks, and then he sees the cloth. So obviously he wanted to see whether this, what is his body there? You know, and he wonders and he just walks away and wonders. It says there, you know, he was wondering to himself what happened. And also on that day, in one of the other Gospels, it says there were two of the apostles walking and, you know, talking one another of what had happened the past few days, and then somebody else joined them and they asked, you know, what happened? And they said, weren't you here? And then only later they realized that it was actually the Lord walking with them. But they all went back to that room, locked themselves up because they were afraid. And then it goes on in verse 36. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what was written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." You know, it was here they're sitting. You know, Judas was dead. He had committed suicide a few days earlier. And Thomas was not there for some reason. I don't know what the reason was. And here the disciples are gathering. It's that same day that Jesus rose from the dead. And they were behind doors locked, afraid. And it was that Sunday. Now, you know, we are here this morning also, maybe not some of you don't have fear, but this side of the pulpit there's a bit of fear. You know, so the first sermon is actually of the church was preached that Sunday, and there was fear in the congregation. But this morning there's some fear on this side. I was left here. Pastors have left me to my own devices, you know. And again, and you know, I see there's some new faces here that I haven't seen before. So, and here I have to talk about the most important thing that I think is the most important topic that has ever happened in the universe. You know, here the disciples are afraid, full of fear, you know, and because they probably thought, you know, that, you know, tomorrow is Monday, everything is back to normal, and maybe people from the festivities of the weekend, things will go back to normal, and they will look for them as well. They follow Jesus, you know, the one that was crucified. Or maybe they thought, gee, the body is not there, they're going to say, we stole it, and they're going to go after us. And then here, Jesus stands in the midst of them. And they were terrified. You know, that's why Jesus says to them, you know, peace be unto you, or peace be with you. Now, there are some, believe it or not, you know, as I was reading up a little bit about the resurrection, there are some theologians, they call themselves the modernist theologians, that believe that the disciples, you know, that Jesus actually didn't rise from the dead. It was only in the thought of the disciples. But that obviously, you know, cannot be true. I mean, the disciples thought exactly the opposite. I mean, why did they go to the tomb to look for the body? Because they didn't expect the body to be, you know, that he would rise. They thought he had not risen. That's why they said to the ladies, you know, that they're talking nonsense. They were terrified. You know, they knew that Jesus was flogged half to death. They saw him being crucified. And they saw him die and taken down from the cross and being put into a tomb that was sealed. And that's why they were afraid. But, you know, that is the amazing thing when I read this again, that here are these frightened men, and they turned into men that were not afraid to die to say Jesus has risen. They were not afraid to proclaim the resurrection of Christ. You know, they had turned from cowards, you can call them cowards, I mean, they locked themselves up. And you know, if you think, you know, that day of the crucifixion, they all forsook Jesus. They all went into hiding. When he was put into the tomb, they went and locked themselves up and were afraid. But here, something happens. They meet the risen Christ. You know, they meet Jesus. And without the resurrection, they probably would have, you know, in hiding, they probably would have stayed there and then slowly dispersed themselves so that they go to other towns so that nobody can recognize them. But here, they are completely changed from one moment to the next because they have seen the risen Christ. And I think the disciples certainly saw the risen Christ, because, you know, if you look at how they went out after they had met Christ, Most of them died a gruesome death. But, you know, nothing could stop them. Nothing except death could stop them that they proclaim that Jesus has risen. You know, and if you look, I actually looked at how did, and it's not all the disciples, but how did most of the disciples die? And some of it is recorded in the Bible, but others are recorded in historical writings. And I just put it up there. If you go on, yeah, there. You know, it says James, he was the brother of John, you know, the Gospel of John, he was beheaded. Matthew was beheaded. James, Jesus' brother, was thrown from the top of a temple, beaten to death. Matthias was stoned and beheaded. Andrew was crucified. Mark was dragged to death. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. Jude was crucified, and Bartholomew was beaten and crucified. The fact that, you know, that they, nothing could stop them anymore to proclaim that Jesus has had risen, you know, changed them from cowards to courageous, the most courageous men on the planet. You know, and as I looked at the resurrection, I found that, you know, a professor of history at the Oxford University, you know, said that there is actually no fact in history better attested than the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And I've put the words up there, what he said. He said, I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better, fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer than the great sign which God has given us that Christ died and rose again from the dead. Now, one of the proofs, obviously, is that the disciples were completely changed. They were completely changed. They had something had happened. They met Christ. And like I said, nothing but death itself could stop them from proclaiming this. And it's the resurrection of the Lord that started the early church. You know, if you think about that, they were sitting there afraid and, gee, where do we go? Where do we go to hiding? Because they will find us. And suddenly, you know, the teaching of Jesus has risen, changed their lives, and it started the church. That is what changed their lives, and that's what started the early church. Now, I said to you, I will just ask you two questions. I just wanted to go a little bit through this, and just the fact that these men had met the risen Christ and it changed them. And therefore, my first question to you is, have you met the risen Christ? You know, have you met the risen Christ? Look how it changed these disciples. If you say you've met the risen Christ, how has it changed you? You know, Thomas, like I said, wasn't there. And when he came back, you know, the other disciples were all excited. And I mean, his first response was, I don't believe it. You know, I mean, he said, you know, unless I can put my hands, you know, in the wounds on his hands and on his feet, and I can put my hand on the side where he was, you know, where the spear went in, he won't believe it. And today we have we've got a lot of responses like that as well. You know, even with when somebody gives a testimony and says, you know, this happened to me, you know, sometimes I have to confess, I will sit there and I think, gee, I'll only believe it if I actually see it. Or I'll only believe the miracle if I actually can see it. If it happens to me, you know, then I will believe it. And you might also be sitting here and saying, look, how can you say, have I met the risen Christ? I mean, how can I meet somebody that I cannot see? That was the same as Nicodemus, you know, when Jesus said to him, you know, you must be born again. He also had that. He said, how can I be born again? You know, but Jesus knew that there would be a response like that. And he said to Thomas, you know, he said to him, you know, You know, you believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those that believe and have not seen. You know, and I said, you know, the evidence of the resurrection, I said before, you know, we read from that professor there, the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus is so strong that any court of law would be totally convinced that this, and would have to make a judgment that this event has happened. Just the eyewitness testimonies, all the evidence, the circumstantial evidence, is far stronger, actually, than the evidence that Julius Caesar invaded England in 55 years before Christ. You know, that the evidence of Jesus' resurrection is stronger. Now, you can ignore Julius Caesar, but you cannot ignore Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. You know, or you can say, yeah, I believe that Caesar, you know, invaded England, and you don't have to do anything about it. But you cannot believe in Jesus without your life being changed. You know, when Thomas eventually saw Jesus and Jesus said these words to him, the only response he had is, my Lord and my God. You know, I mean, that was, I think, probably the response of all the disciples when they said, you know, on that evening, when he appeared in front of us, you know, our lives changed. Our lives changed forever. You know, and it's, they spent 3 years with him, walking with him, and you would think, you know, they would have said, you know, Jesus has influenced us, but when it came to the crunch, they all deserted him and went away. But that evening, when Jesus appeared to them, the whole 3 years didn't have that impact. That when the risen Christ was standing in front of them, they must have said, you know, that is the day that that our lives changed. And, you know, it's the same thing that if we say today, have we met the risen Christ, then we should have the same testimony that day when I met the risen Christ, my life changed. And I think the only response that one has is also, my Lord and my God. Because when you meet him, you know that you've met him. And that's why I asked the question, have you met the risen Christ? And you have to answer that question yourself. I think Peter is such a good example. If you look at a disciple that was with Jesus all the time, you know, he was the one that said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He walked with Jesus on water. You know, he was the one that took out the sword and wanted to defend Jesus. But when it came to the crunch, he denied Jesus three times. Actually, the one time he started cursing. I mean, he didn't look like or sound like a preacher at that time. But when Jesus stood in front of him, he changed. You know, and the Lord picked him up. And who was the one that, you know, at the day of Pentecost stood up and preached? It was Peter. He was no longer afraid. You know, he preached Christ risen. And 3,000 souls actually met the risen Christ that day. So, once Peter had met the risen Christ, he knew where he was going. And, you know, and that's the question I want to ask. You know, have you met the risen Christ? Do you know where you are going? And if you're here today and you say, I don't really know whether I've met the risen Christ, then I don't think you will know where you are going. Because it's only when you've met the risen Christ and you stand before him and it's the response that you give, yes, Lord, my Lord and my God, that your life can change. Now that's my first question. My second question is, to those that you maybe say, yes, I have met the risen Christ, I have met him, my question is, can they see the risen Christ in you? You know, and it's, I'm asking these questions, you know, I'm not asking them to you only, asking them to me. You know, as you go through this, you say, can they see the risen Christ in me? You know, I read a story of some prospectors, gold prospectors, you know, many years ago, one of the gold rushes there in America, and they went out, you know, with panning for gold, and they didn't get anything, and then when their rations, you know, started getting, you know, they were out for a few weeks, and they had to get back to the town to get new, you know, food and water and that. And they, on their way back, they stopped at a, you know, at a place one of the days there where their horses could get some water. And as any good geologist, you know, takes a rock and take the geological hammer and hit the rock, you know. And I know you've guessed it. They found some gold there. You know, and they went into the river and they saw, here's gold here. But we don't have enough food. We have to get back. So they went back to the town, and there was only a small group, and they said to each other, we are not going to tell anybody. Okay, we're not going to tell anybody, because otherwise we'll have everybody there. You know, so they went back and got their food and everything, got ready after a few days to go again, and suddenly 300 people followed them. And it, you know, had someone, the question was, had somebody let out the secret? No, nobody let out the secret. Their faces, their behavior, everything pointed. They had found something, you know. And the people, they wanted to get there, what they had found. You know, and I thought that is, you know, can they see the risen Christ in me? Am I pointing to something where people will say, hey, he's pointing to Jesus Christ? You know, is Christ so visible in my life that you don't have to doubt that I've met the risen Christ? You know, and I have, what I want to say now is, it may seem a little bit strange, but you know, I wrote these words down, and I'm going to read them here. You know, I'm not talking about what a nice person you and I are because we say we're Christians, how good, you know, our goodness and purity, how much we give to the poor, as this should not attract attention to itself. They should simply be magnets to draw people to Jesus. They should simply be magnets to show people, you know, that we have met the Lord Jesus Christ. If my holiness doesn't draw people towards Him, it is a holiness. Is it a holiness of the right order? You know, and you know, even a beautiful saint may in fact be a hindrance if he does not present Jesus Christ, but only what Jesus Christ has done for him or her. And so just as those prospectors, you know, everything pointed that they had found something, you know, should be in our lives. We're pointing that we have had an encounter with the risen Christ. You know, if he should increase and we should decrease. But remember that when you are one of those that is pointing, where your aim is just to point others to Christ, you will not always be, you know, the one that will get the credit. But that doesn't matter. You know, it is, if you are like the disciples were after they had met the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing towards Christ all the time. They did not, you know, whether they were thrown in prison, whether they were whipped, whether they were crucified, they pointed to Christ risen from the dead. You know, I'm also was thinking about this pointing, and my wife told me once a story of she grew up in the Catholic Church, and there was one of the priests that came while she was at school still. He said, He does not want a statue of Mary in the church. And you know, that is quite something for a Catholic priest to say. He said he will only allow a statue of Mary in the church if Mary is pointing towards Jesus. You know, and it's the same with us. We should point towards Jesus. You know, I think John the Baptist's life to me was just is an example. He was fueled with passion, you know, to point people to Jesus. He just said, you know, there's one coming after me. Don't look at me. There's one coming after me that, you know, and his whole life in ministry pointed towards Jesus. And, you know, just in closing, I looked at Psalm 115. Just the first verse of Psalm 115 should be really, if we have met the risen Savior, I think these are the words that will come up in us. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Not to us, Lord, not to us, you know, but to your name be the glory. So I've asked these two questions, you know, have you met the risen Christ? And maybe the second one should have read something like, maybe am I pointing others towards Christ in all I do, rather than can they see the risen Christ in me? Because the emphasis is not on me, the emphasis is on the risen Christ. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. So, you know, yes, the disciples, there were lots of people that followed Jesus. You know, there were hundreds that followed Jesus, but when he was crucified, there were actually some of the same people shouting, "Crucify him." But when they had met the risen Lord Jesus Christ, they changed, and the church started, and it's just so amazing that the people, even the 12, or the group that started, you know, most of them were crucified, and yet the church has grown because the Lord sent the Holy Spirit to empower us so that we can have changed lives. And I can't leave today and not, you know, also allow you that if you sit here today and say, look, I don't know whether I've met the risen Christ. Or if you sit here today and you say, look, you know, I want to point everything that I do, I want to point towards the risen Christ. I want to encourage you that as we end off now, you know, come and let us pray. If you want to meet the risen Christ and be changed like the disciples were changed, then what better day, actually, what better day than on the day where we celebrate the risen Christ, to meet him, to you know, have an encounter with him and to follow him. And I really encourage you to ponder on these words, you know, of the resurrection, and that it is pointing towards the risen Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we are overwhelmed that we can stand before God Almighty and be people to say, Lord, save us. Lord, without you we are lost, and we come this morning, Lord, and we want to meet the risen Christ. Lord, we want to be people that point others to Christ. Father, you've called us to do that. You said we must be your disciples, Lord, and go out into the world and point people to you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that this morning we can just think about the resurrection and know that we can have the confidence in him that rose from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you that we can just remember that awesome event, Lord, biggest ever that happened in the universe, where we can have life, can have it abundant, and be conquerors through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy resurrection.